Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from my office in Branson, Missouri. Well, last week I was in Northern California at a camp, J.H. Ranch, and then I was at today's church in near Seattle, Washington, in Everett, Washington. So my son Chip filled in for me. I wonder if he did a good job. I'll have to go back and listen, I guess, or you can report on it to me. But we're trying to keep these radio broadcasts just as alive as we can so that we can talk to you on Mondays. I'm going to give, we're going to watch the current events in the light of Bible prophecy. So be sure to be with us on Mondays. And now our theme for the week is, and our theme for several weeks has been and is going to be, the signs of His coming, the signs of the coming of the Lord. Now, I never, and maybe if you heard me preach, you can agree on it, I never took a class on how to do sermons, how to preach. And but I am told that in those classes and in debate classes, the thing you want the people to remember most, you tell them last. So what did Jesus tell us on the very last page of the book? I'm reading to you from Revelation chapter 22, and verse 7. Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Verse 12. "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Folks, there's reward for serving the Lord in your body. Also, I believe that he's going to pass out job assignments for the next age. And we're ever so close to his coming. Verse 20, "He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen." And then here is to be our reply. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." We are to be yearning for his coming, and we shall be evermore yearning for his coming. Someone wrote me a card. This has been a long time ago. I can still almost see it. This was when postcards were relatively inexpensive to send. And on this postcard, they wrote, "Did Jesus miss it?" It's been, almost 2,000 years since he came. The answer is no, Jesus never missed it. The Lord looks at things differently than you and I do. We are told in the Psalms, and we're told in Peter, in Peter's letter, 2 Peter, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. I can remember once I was still working for Brother Hagin, and the Lord said to me, on that ratio, 1,000 years is a day, and a day is as 1,000 years, I want you to look to see and understand how much 1 hour of my time is like. And so I figured it up, and we did it again today. It's 41.67 years, or you could say 42 years. So as God sees 42 years, it's only like an hour. So the Lord said to me, I'm only requiring that most men are living now about 2 hours on the earth, maybe more. But he said, surely you can live for me for 2 hours of my time, and we certainly can. But as the Lord looks at this, let's say that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that came in 1901 and then the Azusa Street Revival, which is 100 years ago, to God, since the Azusa Street Revival, it's been 42 years. Yes. And so, it's been 1 hour is like 42 years. So, since the Azusa Street Revival, it's been 2 years. It's been a little over 2 years, like 2.5 years. So, 2.5 hours, excuse me. I'm mixed up here. 42 years equals 1 hour. So in God's time, since the Azusa Street Revival, it's been a little over 2 hours. 2.5 hours. Now, he in 100 years, in 2.5 hours, we really see that God started moving to restore to us the Holy Spirit and his work and his outpouring, which had been like eaten by the palmer worm and the locust. And the Dark Ages, we've talked to you about the Dark Ages before. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, was raised from the dead, he washed us so that we could be temples of the Holy Spirit. And the first people were born of the Holy Spirit in John chapter, let's look here, it's John chapter 20, I believe, or 21. This is when the first ones were born again. When Jesus, nobody could be born again until the Lord came back from having presented his precious blood unto the Father in the death, burial, and resurrection. And when he comes to them in the room, verse 21, where they're gathered, he says, "Peace be unto you," or "peace be upon you," shalom aleichem. "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." So the apostles in that room received the Holy Spirit and were born again. Now, it was sometime later, on the day of Pentecost, that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them came. Subsequent to salvation, there is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that fills you to overflowing, so that the initial sign of it is speaking with other tongues. This was the impetus of the book of Acts. This was the early church. Signs and miracles and wonders. They did everything they did by the power of the Holy Spirit. The book is named the Acts of the Apostles, but really it should probably be named the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The church started that way, in power, with visions. And I've gone through the book of Acts, and in orange, I have underlined everything that was either a vision or the Spirit spoke to them or said certain things they were to do. They laid hands on them, being full of the Holy Spirit. This happened or that happened, and I've underlined the whole book of Acts. You should go back and do that and see what power the church moved in. Now, the Bible says that everything is going to be restored before he comes. And we read this in Acts chapter, I believe it's chapter 3. Yes, chapter 3 and verse 21. But we'll start with, this is in Peter's sermon, we'll start with verse 19. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." So there has to be a restoration of everything there was in the book of Acts. There has to be a restoration of the complete action of the Holy Spirit in the church to prepare us for the coming of the Lord. It is the Holy Spirit's job to prepare us for the coming of the Lord. We're told in the books of 2 Corinthians that as we look into the Bible, into the scriptures, as if it is a mirror, looking for the glory of God, then the Holy Spirit changes us from one degree of glory to the next. So this, until we are in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit and his activity will be greatly on the increase in the church of the last of this age until he prepares us for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what happened? How did that church go from all those miraculous things to where we had to have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the early part of the 20th century? Another one. Well, I'm going to read to you from a book that someone handed me, 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity by Eddie L. Hyatt, H-Y-A-T-T. Now, we don't have this book for sale, but you can find it, I'm sure. It's 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity by Eddie Hyatt. He begins, "Charismatic Christianity is not solely a 20th century phenomenon. It has been around since Jesus walked the earth 2,000 years ago. In the 20th century, however, there has been a veritable explosion of charismatic Christianity. beginning with the Pentecostal movement in 1901 and revitalized by the Charismatic movement beginning in 1960. This explosion of charismatic Christianity has gained momentum and permeated every facet of church life. Not since the first century has there been such a widespread emphasis on the Holy Spirit and His gifts. Now, our topic for the week is going to be the charismatic renewal. And we'll get to that on another day. The Apostolic Church, Eddie Hyatt writes, it was moving and speaking in tongues and prophecy, healing and miracles, and all the other charismata were common, even the norm. It was this dynamic activity of the Holy Spirit in the personal, individual lives of the believers and in the corporate light of the church rather than organizational structure that provided the basis for its life, community, and missions. In retrospect, it can be seen that there was a gradual demise of the charismatic character of the church and a corresponding rise of organized structure. Nevertheless, spiritual gifts continued to be a vital part of the life of the church after the first century. Post-apostolic writings reveal no knowledge or expectation of their cessation at some point in time. Those who succeeded the apostles as leaders in the church have instead left clear testimony of the continued work of the Spirit's gifts and power during their time. So what we're going to look at tomorrow is how not in the what was recognized as the highly organized structural Roman church, but in the church there was always a steady stream of those who moved in the gifts of the Spirit. And Eddie Hyatt traces them, and we're going to look briefly at them tomorrow before we look at the restoration and at the charismatic renewal. We're offering this week, because I'm going to get to it, the Smith Wigglesworth prophecy and the greatest revival of all times. The Holy Spirit increased in this past century, and the charismatic renewal is going to move toward the greatest revival of all times. You can get this book from us for only $8. It normally sells for $10, and it's a pretty big book. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447. And you can have it at $8 plus shipping. The title is Smith Wigglesworth Prophecy and the Greatest Revival of All Time. You can write us here at Post Office Box 40 in Branson, Missouri. And we would appreciate a radio offering. If you help us to keep on the air, we're going to stay on the air, but we do need support. And we thank you if you might be moved today to send us an offering. Give us a call, as I said, at 1-800-972-3447. This is Billy Brim, and all this week we're going to be looking at how it never went away. The gifts and charismata and the speaking in tongues never went away. We're going to read to you some proofs of it, even what John Wesley said about a certain group of people. We have had it, but we've had a restoration, and we're going to know a further restoration in a last great move as a sign of His coming. This is Billy Brim saying to you, Shalom, Shalom.